All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of all the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 8, the Levites read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's from that passage in the Revised Standard Version that we see that Ezra was one of the strongest men in the Bible, because it said he had six men standing on his left hand, eight men standing on his right hand, and he opened the book in front of him. Think about it. That reading actually tells us the wonders of God's word and how it impacted people's lives. And so we're going to stand and sing, Lord, your word shall guide us.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
And the gospel reading this morning is in from Matthew chapter 26. We're looking at two little parts of that chapter, and they're the verses we're going to be looking at in a few moments' time as we develop the theme of the Creed. Matthew 26, verse 27, and it's on page 996 of our Bibles. This is Jesus at the Last Supper, handed out bread, and then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, This very night you will fall away on account of me. And then moving on to verse 41, by which time the disciples are in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Jesus asks them, Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it's possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Collect that one. We're moving on this morning on our theme of the Apostles' Creed. I felt a bit like Simon when I looked at the readings for today a few weeks ago and thought, ooh, Nehemiah. Probably my favourite book in the Bible. And so I was quite committed to preach about that and then realised we were on a little series on the Apostles' Creed. I actually searched through that reading in Nehemiah to see if I could find a link that might come into the Apostles' Creed and the cross, but I couldn't. So we're into Matthew. I'm not apologising for that. I was just a little sad myself that that was the situation. So we've already dealt with the first part, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Week two, last week, Simon talked about, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And today, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And I'm going to spend almost all of our time just looking at that middle part, was crucified and died. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, yes. And one of the things that comes right through this whole crucifixion story is one of betrayal. If you actually think about it, the passage we've just read, Jesus was betrayed, certainly very disappointed by his disciples. Just watch and pray. But no, they fell asleep. Judas, we know, desperate act of betrayal. Pontius Pilate, betrayed. Pontius Pilate said, I can find no fault with this man. And they all said, crucify. He said, okay, I'll wash my hands. Don't blame me. I'll wash my hands of the whole offense, the whole thing. Jesus was betrayed so many times in those last days. And of course, the best one of all in terms of our knowledge of the thing was poor old Peter. And I feel for that man. It's fine for us to say, oh, yes, but there he was following Jesus. And when the moment came, he denied him when the servant girl said, you know him, and denied him three times. But I wouldn't have wanted to be in the position that he was in. That's the background to where we are. The crucifixion. I guess it's the very center of our Christian faith. Even this last week, we've had the story of the British Air lady with the little crucifix round her neck and all the storm that's caused. There's somehow an offence about the cross. There's something which focuses our mind and even squabbles as to whether we should have a crucifix with a body on it or whether we should have a cross with no body. Many say, but Jesus was on the cross for a very short time. We should never display a cross with a body on it. It's an empty cross. He's gone. He's risen. It's been part of the whole Christian faith, the centre of it, forever. The Gospels themselves are very thorough. If you look at most stories in the Gospels, you'll find it's a story that's perhaps in one, two, maybe even three. And there's little facts that sometimes don't quite tie up from one gospel to the other. But you look at this story of the cross and you could almost read a little bit from Matthew, flip over and follow it on in Mark, flip over and follow it on in Luke. Incredible detail is there to testify of this particular event. Paul, of course, was big on the cross. We're going to talk about a little bit of that later on. 74 times in the New Testament, the cross is referred to. We've had films in recent times, pretty awful films, and we're going again to look in a moment at the horror of the crucifixion. It's something that happened. It is one of the most well-attested events in history. Jesus Christ's death on the cross happened without any doubt at all. But as we look at it this week, we need to remember it's only half the story. The fact that Jesus died wouldn't have set him apart from anyone. Look around here and there's people who 6 months, 12 months ago were sitting with us. they've died. It's going to be true of all of us unless Jesus comes in the meantime for his second coming. So the death of Jesus was only half of the story. Next week, we'll leave it today on the edge of the cliff, because next week comes the other side of this, the glorious resurrection. But today, the crucifixion. Firstly, the shame of it all. The crucifixion was very rarely something that happened to Roman citizens. It was so awful that it was put aside for the lowly criminals. Therefore, the writer to the Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. There was massive shame in being crucified. Massive shame. As you walk through the streets of Jerusalem, everyone watched. It was the ultimate. Again, Paul, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even, can you believe it? Even death on a cross. It was the ultimate. Paul again to the Corinthians, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. Why was it a stumbling block to the Jews? It was a stumbling block to the Jews because they were expecting a king and hoping for a king to ride before them and conquer the Romans. And therefore, crucifixion rather blotted that from the memory. But even worse than that, conceivable? Is it possible that a potential king was crucified? The shame of it? Is it possible? It was a major stumbling block to the Jews. The crucifixion, shame. The crucifixion, horror. Jesus was stripped naked. Right back to the Garden of Eden, the very first thing that Adam and Eve realized, their nakedness. Jesus had a scarlet robe put on him. Imitation. Here's the garment that kings wear. So we put a tatty scarlet robe on him. Spat upon. Can we think about that? Humiliation. Jesus was spat upon. He had a crown of thorns put on his head, and then his head was repeatedly thumped. The crucifixion was so horrible that, in fact, some of the governors allowed people to be strangled first and then put on the cross so that people would actually see and be aware of the crime they'd committed. But the crucifixion was more than some governors were prepared to put people through. The shame of the crucifixion, which Jesus endured, the horror of the crucifixion. But at the same time, the miracle of it. The temple curtain in Jerusalem, a massive curtain separating the inner sanctum from the rest of the temple, the place where the high priest only was allowed to go behind that curtain, and he only once a year. An incredibly sacred place. And what happened? That curtain was ripped from top to bottom, and it wasn't a matter of somebody just getting up and pulling it. It's a mammoth thing, ripped from top to bottom, exposing that inner area. What that death on the cross did, the miracle, Matthew chapter 27, we read about it. It opened up that inner area, that holy of holies, to everybody. And that happened at the time when Jesus was on the cross. An incredible thing when you think about it. Incredible. Mammoth curtain just ripped from top to bottom. Not bottom to top, top to bottom. And it's an event that's a long time forecast. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, said these words, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. What can that mean? far from prophesying the death of Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace. That the inner peace, as the curtain was ripped, access to God was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Let's just move this on now to where we fit into all of this. And this is one of the great verses in the Bible. It's the link, it's the bridge verse. Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If righteousness could be gained through the law, what's the point of Christ's death? If come judgment day, putting in very simple terms, there's a scorecard and 8 out of 10 is the pass mark, and one therefore has got the law, the Ten Commandments, the laws that we have, and, you know, God would say, well, if you get 8, that's okay. What's the point of Christ's death? You live a good life, you score your 8 points, and you're in the presence of God. If you don't, well, that's your problem. You should have done. It isn't like that. It isn't like that. It isn't a matter of saying, well, almost there. This concept of purgatory is one I don't cope with. A sort of a waiting place. You've almost made it, so have a little waiting time, and then you'll be able to get into the presence of God. I don't see it. I don't see it. The young ruler that we read about in Luke's gospel, he said, I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus said, yes, there's one more thing you need to do. Go and sell all that you've got and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowful. He would have scored 8, probably 9, but not 10. Christ would have died for nothing if we could gain righteousness through the law. We cannot gain righteousness through the law. We cannot. 10 out of 10 is the score. In the presence of God is perfection. And we aren't perfect. We never will be. And therefore, Christ had to die. There had to be that moment where our sin, our imperfection, was dealt with. Jesus called the crowd along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And we tend often to think of taking up the cross of, I've got a bad back and I've got to sort of carry that through life. Oh, well, if you'd met my mother-in-law, you'd know the cross that I have to bear. It's a bit of a joke thing. Poor old me. You need to feel sorry for me. We're on the wrong wavelength altogether. He must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Jesus and all who are being crucified had the crossbar on their back and had to stagger through the streets of Jerusalem to the site of the crucifixion outside the city. They had to carry their cross. Jesus couldn't. He was so weak, he'd been beaten around so much that Simon the Cyrene was nailed by the Romans to carry the cross for Jesus. We deny ourselves and take up the cross of Jesus. This is way beyond any of the sort of things that we might fear in our ordinary life, our ordinary lifestyle. We deny ourselves in order to take up the cross of Jesus, to follow him. Jesus said, be reconciled. Paul says, writing to the Colossians, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body, that curtain ripped down from top to bottom. We are reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. Access to God is available through the death of Jesus Christ. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, says that Jew and Gentile, that was unthinkable to them. Jew and Gentile are reconciled by the death of Jesus. Reconciled, Jew and Gentile, both have access to God. Nothing withheld. And finally, Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be ambassadors for him. Recently, there was a little incident I read about in the paper of the Turkish ambassador being summoned to the Jewish foreign minister in Jerusalem to be dressed down. There'd been some incident, and the ambassador was called in to be told off by the foreign secretary. And when he got there, not only was the foreign secretary there, but the assembled press were there as well. And so the Israeli foreign secretary laid into the Turkish representative, and all the press heard it. And to make it even worse, he put him on a seat that was about a foot lower than the seat that he was sitting on. And therefore the poor Turkish ambassador was looking up at the Israeli foreign secretary and was being thumped very vigorously, and all the press were jotting it down. And there was a major incident. Turkey and Israel were almost going to sort of break off relations. Paul says, be ambassadors. Be ambassadors. The Turkish representative there was the ambassador of his country. And when he was being humiliated, the Turkish government said, the country's being humiliated. We are told to be ambassadors. As we go into the presence of, in the story, the Israeli foreign secretary, we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Our role is to be ambassadors. If we let ourselves down, we let him down. Be reconciled to God. The last words of that passage and the last words that I want to say this morning. Be reconciled to God. On the cross, Jesus took away the sin. That curtain was ripped. Access to God is available. 10 out of 10 is there for all of us as we thank God for the death of Jesus and take it on ourselves. Jesus was crucified. He was dead, no doubt about that. He was put in a tomb with a great stone to block him in so that there was no way in which his body could be stolen by the soldiers, the Roman soldiers. And that's where we leave it this week. Next week, the wonderful words that he was resurrected. The other side of the story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the death of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that he suffered the shame, he suffered the horror, he suffered the humiliation in order that curtain might be ripped, in order that we might have access to God, in order that we might have perfection put upon us. Father, we thank you. We'll never cease to thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.